Hello and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name's Max.
And I'm Sam.
And we are joined today by two very special guests, folks that are in our testing group, folks who are fans of the podcast. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I'm getting mixed response on that one. Our friends Cliff and Olivia, who recently got back from their first DLC in Las Vegas. So, with Seattle coming up here in just a scant few weeks, we wanted to get their opinions, their thoughts, and some advice for all of you who may be attending your first ever Disney Lorcana Challenger event. So I will kick it right over to them. If you want to give us a rundown, just a quick brief overview of what you did through the tournament, through the event itself. What did you do? Would you play? How'd you spend the days? And introduce yourself, say hi, so that everybody can get to know you as well. Cliff, I'll send it over to you first.
Hello, I am Cliff Lorcana-er.
That's you.
This is a large chunk of our practice group.
Yes.
So yes, it was my first Lorcana challenge.
I'm Olivia. I'm a big fan of the podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm Cliff's wife, and I went to the thing with Cliff.
Excellent.
So we found out that the Friday pre-signup started at like 10 o'clock. We ended up getting there around 11:30. So it was standing in a long line, get our promo, which was the Kristoff, and then just get a feel for the room near where the registration sign up was the prize wall and on-demand events signups. There was six vendors and the artists, and where the main stage was set up was on the opposite side. So Friday, I did not sign up for any of the large competitive events because they were like 256 or 500 players. So they were,
wow,
like the majority of the day. And we had dinner reservations, so I didn't want to risk doing well in the tournament and then having to drop out to go eat dinner.
Yeah, that would be kind of terrible for your opponents that you beat.
Most surprisingly about that was that large event was the biggest amount of prize wall tickets you could win. So first place at the 11 and 11:30 were 300 prize wall tickets.
Whoa.
So that was, like, if you did well, the best return on your time.
Awesome.
So we did a bunch of on-demand instructeds, and I was just doing that to get a little bit of last round practicing in for the main event on Saturday. I was playing blue-red popsicles and was at the lowest point of the whole event, leaving there Friday because I got destroyed every eight man. It was not even close. Lost two decks I should not have lost to. I mainly just lost to myself. Got stuck on three inkables, multiple games, and it just felt terrible. But for the events, they fired rapidly. They did a good job with where they were being held, having judges on hand, and keeping them in like a timely manner.
How did they inform you that your event was ready to fire after you signed up?
So they gave you an entry ticket, and you just walked over to the Emerald or Ruby or Sapphire banner, wherever they were having those events being held at the time. And the judges would walk up to you, and depending on the color of your ticket, they knew if you were doing pack rush, draft, or constructed. And then they gave you a bracket to write your name on. And then when it filled to eight, they just asked you to hang out in that general area because they were filling up in probably what, every 10 minutes?
Yeah, it would depend on what group was signing up. Sometimes it would come in rushes, sometimes not. Sometimes you'd be waiting for your eighth person and you'd be waiting for a while.
You got one prize wall ticket just for entering, and then you ended up getting 10 if you won. So getting 11, one for entry and 10 for winning.
And how much did it cost to enter?
15.
Yeah, Friday we were paying $20 to do the constructed, and we didn't realize until Saturday whoever was taking our money had a confusion about it because they were like scrolling through their price list, and then he had a question like, is this 15 or 20? He was asking someone else. Oh, it's 15, because I had noticed on the banner behind them, it's like, oh, constructed 15. They were charging 20 yesterday. Luckily, someone stepped in and they handled that right away. As long as you had the credit card you used when you paid, they were able to look up your transactions.
That's
that
awesome.
Was nice.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And the refund went through like right away. So like I checked my credit card statement. I had a $30 credit within 5 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
So even though there was confusion, at least they handled that.
Yeah, you love
right
to
away,
say it.
So
everybody's allowed to make a mistake. It's mm-hmm. about correcting the mistake and how you handle it. It's the important thing.
Yeah, and it seemed like it got corrected without any issues or anybody having to cause a scene or arguing or fighting with anybody for the right thing to happen.
Fair enough. So that was largely your Friday. So, Cliff, you played in the main event on Saturday.
Correct.
So give us your rundown. How did it go? What did you think? Because this is your first time really, at this point, playing heavily in the two-game format.
Correct. So we did spend a lot of time testing the two-game format for like the month leading up to it, because we had to do a lot of extra testing because of the Bucky ban.
Whatever you want to call it.
And then just a lot of practicing. We came to the conclusion that you wanted to go first, second, because your third breaker is game two is weighted more heavily than game one.
Right.
The concern that you would run into while playing is if your opponent wins game one, you have to make sure you're paying attention that they're not slow playing. Not that I think my opponent in round four was intentionally slow playing, but he took a minute and 30 or 45 seconds to figure out what to ink on turn one, and he had won game one. So after that, when I was like, hey, I just need you to play a little faster, playing blue red, my deck does not end the game quickly until it's ready to end the game.
That's right.
But that could take 15 or 20 turns.
A little bit, yeah.
Even trying to quest aggressively. They did the normal for large events where they had player meeting, everyone sat down. And for me, like the big frustration with that was seeing so many empty seats, knowing like you guys and so many other people that wanted to go, to see that 150 people no showed the event.
Yeah, that sucks.
The ultimate feels bad. I guess I can talk about it more, what they did kind of on Sunday when we get to that. After the player meeting, we had some rounds. My first two opponents were green, purple, and that felt good. And Melee does update immediately because I submitted my results for round one and I got a text from Sam, you did a good job. I was like, I hit submit and the text message came through. So I was being stalked and that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a stalker.
We are keeping an eye on you.
I played green purples, then I played a blue red mirror and my deck failed me. It was just poor on my side. Then I played against the Lemon Lime deck, and that was the slower player. And I understand that deck's a little complicated in its play patterns and like that, but I feel like if you've practiced enough, you should be able to play any deck at a reasonable pace. From what I was gathering, he was like recounting everything I did every turn and counting the number of cards I should have had at every moment. Because in between the one round, there was like a 40-minute delay. I think it was in between rounds four and five, where somebody had marked that they won and they didn't. So the judges had to find all the players that were playing in that area to corroborate stories. There was the guy that did well in Texas that was drawing extra cards and pretending to be new at the game. So there was a bunch of cheating that went on that slowed the event down a little bit. And that was also happening Friday during the big constructed events that were being run. I ended up with a bunch of draws because the two-game format's a little tough. And just like the being on the play, being on the draw, there's so much of a difference. But the odd thing was I lost both games on the play against green-purple and then beat them on the draw. So a bunch of the games that I won, I was on the draw and not on the play. So like I was winning the games I shouldn't be winning and losing the games I should be losing or right. Winning. I ended up playing all nine rounds. Somebody had said there was a statistical probability that if I had won the last round, I could theoretically have made the top 128 with how breakers ended up. But what I did in round nine, since I'd reached the 30-point threshold, so what they do in the main event is you don't get the dragon fire until after round three, or when round three starts. They give everyone the dragon fire, and then if you want to drop, you can. If you get to 10 match points, you got 5 prize pool tickets. Kind of like a low rate.
It is, yeah.
You're playing 3 hours to get 5 tickets. Would let you get 2 first chapter packs.
Yeah.
And like a Shimmering Skies pack.
Not a lot.
Then you needed 20 match points to get like 10 prize wall tickets. And then you needed 30 to get, I got 20.
20 for 30.
So I had to play, I broke the 30-point threshold in round 8. And then at 33 points, I had already known going into it that if I lost game 1, I was just going to concede to my opponent. Because there's no sense in me winning game 2, both of us getting to 36 points.
And nobody having a chance whatsoever.
Correct. Yeah. No matter how small the chance was, it's better to have that. It took some explaining to my opponent as to why I did it, because I stood to gain nothing. So I think if anybody's listening isn't sure what to do, like if you're in that situation, just do the right thing. If you don't stand to gain anything from playing that last game, just concede, because I wasn't losing anything.
Right. Sportsmanlike conduct.
Right. So if I had won, instead of being like the top 21%, I'm in the top 17%.
Right.
It doesn't matter the difference between like 400th and 350th.
Exactly.
Through all that, I ended up with the 20 prize tickets. And for myself, I had high expectations. I told Max beforehand, my expectations were to day two. I've got a lot of gaming experience, and that's where I set my goal was to day two. I really wanted to let it go, but I really wanted to be playing for something.
Absolutely.
Since like so many of my friends could not make it, I kind of wanted to do well for the team just to show that like we do well.
Right.
I don't think that we are in any way, shape, or form like outclassed. Didn't feel like anybody there was so much better than any of us.
Sure.
So it feels good knowing that like I haven't played card games in a while, and through testing and like grinding with like you guys and the other friends of the podcast, that we're, you know, we're kind of at that level. That felt good, and you guys did a great job trying to make me feel better about my frustration.
Yeah. You finished pretty darn high, especially for your first outing in the two game format.
I think ultimately the two game format is a detriment to the game because it just feels terrible at the end. I would rather have lost than been like, okay, I got 3 points and I already know I'm effectively out.
Yeah. It's rough. I know that the ideas they had and the theory behind it makes sense, but it seems like the more of these events that get put under our belts, the more the statistics are pointing to too many negatives as a result. At least I would think, my observation, again, just me, not anybody right. else.
And it doesn't make the rounds any faster. Like right. they gave us 45 minute rounds, and obviously judge calls and stuff, you get time extensions at big events. I had a 3 minute extension when I had an issue. I think it was round five, only drew 6 cards after his mulligan. The result is everything was randomized at that point. He just failed to draw his 7th card. So we just called a judge over. The judge was like, do you know where anything is? We do not. We were just resolving mulligans. Draw a card. He got a warning, and we got a 3 minute time extension because we had to wait for one of them to walk over.
Sure.
With the 45 minute rounds and 2 games, your pace of play can be a little slower because you have a longer time for each game. So like it incentivizes more thought, which is good because then you're less prone to making mistakes, but it also does
makes the day just as long.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So Olivia, what were you doing while Cliff was playing in the main event on Saturday?
I know I did at least one constructed event, side event, and then I did a scheduled sealed event.
Okay. And what were you playing during the constructed events? Which deck?
Yellow, purple, super aggro-y deck.
Yep. So. The classic hyper aggro. Everybody's afraid of Daisy Duck, and you were bringing the Daisy Ducks.
I'll say that there's been a few opponents of mine that were not happy I was playing there.
That's fair. You definitely can win a game fast. We're not going to time.
No.
In a room full of Daisy Ducks, that's for sure. And what did you think of the sealed event? This was your first sealed event, correct?
Yeah.
And did you like the format?
I was a little intimidated by doing it because I've never done it with Lorcana before.
Right.
I've done it years ago with Magic, but that was a long time ago. Basically, it's just like I've got a few pointers from Cliff. Like, just don't take so many uninkables. Just get big statted characters. Just look for things like that. And like, nothing too specific, nothing right. too niche. Like, you just want a good mix of big stats and as little uninkables as possible.
Yeah, big butts.
Good curve.
Yeah, good curve.
Escalating threat every turn. No, that makes sense. That's good deck building principles in general, right? Well,
limited in this game is, I think, how the designers want the game to be played because it's so combat intensive.
It is.
And it's where all that stuff matters. It does not translate into constructed.
Support matters in limited, which is weird because it doesn't really at all yet in constructed.
Yeah, I think support is awesome in limited.
That and all like the little heal items. So this is Shimmering Skies. So there's like the lantern that taps and heals something for 2 is ridiculous in limited and sealed.
Right.
And then even the Amber Chromacon that heals all of your dudes for 1 is a reasonable thing to put into your deck.
I agree. Mm-hmm. We got through Saturday. Now what about Sunday?
So Sunday, we weren't entirely sure if we were going back other than to trade in all our prize wall tickets. On Saturday before we left, when I conceded, they closed the prize wall at 8. I would say a thing that they can work on in the future.
For sure.
Because round 9 was still going on and there were still events to be had. Keep the prize wall open, I think, until everyone is done.
Kind of forcing people to come back on Sunday if they didn't get a chance to spend it.
They were also only giving you prize tickets when you were done the event. So at round 8, I had 33 points. So I was guaranteed the 20 tickets. If I had wanted to get them then, I would have had to have dropped from the tournament.
Oh, that's weird.
And not gotten to play round 9. I can't go back below the 30-point threshold.
Right.
So why aren't they just provided at that point? So as soon as I was done, you had to go get in line and show them the Melee app, show them how many points you had for them to verify, and then they gave you the prize wall tickets. So what we ended up using our prize wall tickets on Saturday was a first chapter booster box. So they were 38 tickets more than the Rapunzels and Cinderellas, but I feel like it's a worthwhile thing to hold on to or have.
That makes sense.
So Sunday, we ended up going back and just doing two. We did two of the on-demand constructed events because I had looked really early in the morning Sunday that there was a first chapter sealed that still had like three open seats.
Okay.
But it was like 5 a.m. and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it there for it. So I didn't sign up. I was like, yeah, we would be able to make it there. It had filled up because I would have done that just to do a first chapter sealed and maybe open an Elsa, an enchanted Elsa.
Sure, yeah.
And then
absolutely.
Make the whole event totally worthwhile.
Free.
Yeah. But we ended up doing the two constructeds. And when we were signing up, we were fortunate that we were able to put ourselves on opposite ends of the bracket. So the only way we'd play each other is if we got to the finals. And we happened to get to the finals both times.
Awesome.
Which made those events fly because it was like game one, round one, round two. Oh, round three, Olivia wins.
Right.
Get in the next one, put us inside, win, win. Oh, Olivia wins. So by doing that, it was $30, but we were getting 17 prize wall tickets.
That's awesome.
So we had a couple left over from the day before, so we ended up getting a second first chapter box and one first chapter pack that was not very good.
I see. No enchanted Elsa.
No, no, it was just bad. Checked out the vendors a bunch. I was able to get a bunch of the foils I was looking for. In general, all of them were very nice. The one vendor table kept all their cards in a binder, alphabetized.
Oh, weird.
So it was like hard to look at what they had if one person was looking at that binder. You like couldn't see cards A through F.
Yeah.
Can you just go back one page?
Well, pretty good extensive rundown.